Today on Real Radio.
When we hate somebody, the first thing we do is that we lie against the truth. Because it says, he who says he is in the light. We're lying against the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're studying a section in the second chapter where the Apostle John uses the terms light and darkness. It's a literary device, really, to describe the contrasting behaviors of true believers and false believers. These are more outward signs described by John to gauge whether or not one is a real follower of God the Son or not. Think of it as the apostle shedding new light on an old commandment. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called A New Commandment He Gives.
People come in and out and they're wondering, oh gosh, you know, I want to try this place out, but I don't know, and I'm kind of shy. And a lot of people sit for a while and they don't reach out and say hi. If we know each other well already, it's like, hey, I know you. Good. Let's go get somebody we don't know. Let's mug them together. Let's give them a hug. I had somebody say, man, Calvary Chapel, can't walk in there without getting hugged. I thought it was kind of weird, too, when I first went. And you get used to it. Kind of get the feeling something Jesus would do. Except with me, he hugs me like this. That's how he hugs me. When he says here, verse 7, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. This is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. If you'll jot that down, you can look at it later. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on their gates. What? That you should love the Lord your God. That's the old commandment. It's neat. He talks about it as being an old commandment. But the word old commandment here is one that was given and that's ongoing. Isn't that great? Don't you and I realize how much we need love? We need love right now. We need to know that we're loved. One of the greatest, most strongest drives of the human being is to know that they're loved. You need to know it. People will do strange things if they don't think they're loved. People will go find relationships in strange places with strange people to somehow concoct the idea that they're being loved when in reality they're just being used. Any fathers in here? Love your children. Especially your daughters. If you're a father in here, love your daughters. Love them so much and make sure that they have your acceptance, or else they might go out somewhere else and try to find it. Love your children. Love the body of Christ. It's an effort. The love of God is a verb. It's something that we have to do. We also see here in verse 7 that it's the Word of God. As we just read in Deuteronomy, it is the Word. That which was, it's old and, of course, new, but it is the Word of God. We do well to always stay in it. The second thing we see tonight, a new commandment he gives, is because of a new example. Not only a new emphasis in verse 7, but a new example in verse 8. He says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The first thing we see here is that this word new in the Greek is a word that appears in two different forms. We need to be careful. The word new here, it can be translated, and the Greeks did this in one of two ways. The first way would be like this. New as in time. New as in time, meaning I have a new Suburban. That is the word new as in time. It's new in time. In other words, it's the latest model. Well, the other Greek word is new as in fresh, or as in remodeled or refurbished or freshened. It's been restated or reannounced to the world. That's the word that appears here. So when it says a new commandment, you go, oh, something new, huh? No, it's what's of old times, but has been refurbished, refreshed, renewed, remodeled, and presented by being announced to the world again with a whole new meaning. When the Bible says in the Old Testament, love God, man in the Old Testament said, how can I? It was hard. It was tough. You showed your love for God by doing certain works in giving your offerings and giving your tithe and giving your things like that. But throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit never indwelt the man or the woman. Did you know that? Never indwelt them. That's why David cried out, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why did he pray that prayer? Did you know it's Old Testament good theology? But did you know New Testament, it is not good theology? If you're born again by the Spirit of God, he will not take his Holy Spirit from you. Jesus said, if you'll come unto me, I will in no wise turn you away. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we are sealed once and for all with the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Jesus said in John chapters 14 and 16 about the person of the Holy Spirit, he was coming and that he would abide with us forever. He will never leave us. It's very wonderful to know. Jesus said in Matthew 22 to the rich young ruler, verse 37, Jesus said to him in his response there, when the man asked Jesus the question about what he needed to do to be saved, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, the old commandment is the same, found in Leviticus 19, 18. You ought to jot that down. Matthew 22, 37 is the new, but it's pointing back to the old, Leviticus 19, 18. And there in chapter 19, verse 18, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. In the New Testament age, that's how our love for God is lived out in this world. I can tell you all day long I love God, but if you continue to sit there and bleed in front of me without me giving you a Band-Aid, it doesn't mean diddly, does it? It's worthless. We could be saying, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, and somebody fall over here with a heart attack. Heck, doesn't that guy know he's disrupting the service by having a heart attack? Praise the Lord, and keep going. What is that? No, man, we help him. We love on him. It makes all the difference in the world. It's a great example. It's the example that the world needs to see. It's the example that the cults need to see. They need to see it. Sometimes we're like the spoiled children who live in the house. We know God loves us. We're so content, and we should be content. And there's people out there hustling in the world to try to earn God's love, and we have it. With the peace of God that passes all understanding, and they're out there trying to earn it. While you have it, and they need what you have. They can argue at your door all day long, but you have the love of God. Love on them. Much of my family lives just in the southern part of Salt Lake, and they're Christians, committed. And the greatest way to just show the true love of the true Jesus is to love on them. Jesus said, by this, all the world will know that you have followed me. When he says, verse 8, which thing is true in him? I'm going to ask you to mark that word, those two words, in him. This calls us to consider the nature of Christ. Do you understand that when God wanted to demonstrate love to the world, he sent his son? Do you understand that when God wanted to demonstrate forgiveness, he sent his son? When God the Father wanted to show forth mercy, he sent his son. And I thought about that. Can you imagine today if right now someone literally caught a woman in the very act of adultery. You know, that always blows my mind. Those Pharisees drag this woman to Jesus. Jesus, we have caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Moses says to stone her. What do you say? I would have said, how do you know she was in the very act of adultery? What were they doing there? I think the whole thing was a setup. I think they paid some guy to lure some girl. Because they should have drugged the guy there too, right? According to the scriptures. If these lawyers and Pharisees were so right on, they were supposed to drag both of them to Jesus. But no, they picked on the woman because the man could be bought off. Moses says to kill her, what do you say? And it says there, Jesus stooping down begins to write in the dust. I love that. I believe, don't quote me on that. I read this in my devotion this morning and I forgot what chapter I read. It is in Jeremiah, I think, 17, where it says that the Lord writes their iniquity in the earth. That the Lord writes their iniquity in the earth. Jesus, it says, stooped down and began to write in the dust. And you know what he wrote. Phil, he was over here, and Jerry and Mike and Bob, he wrote down Phil. Behind 7-Eleven with bubbles on Saturday night. Bob, drinks too much. Fred, ripping off the temple. In fact, he's got 20 bucks in his pocket right now. Because it says, as he wrote in the dirt, that they were convicted, and from the youngest to the oldest to the youngest, they went away. You know why the youngest one went away last? Because he had least less amount of sins. The first guy began to write, and he was the old guy. Oh, man, I better get out of here. Well, I can't. He had a long list. What would happen today if somebody caught a woman in the very act of adultery? Get the cameras. Oh, get the... Put it on hard copy. What would churches do? Isn't it awesome that wherever you could find Jesus, you could find sinners. Wherever you could find sinners, you could find Jesus. The heart of God is to save sinners. The most vile sinners found peace and rest at Jesus' feet. Then I thought of the most gruesome men found forgiveness of sins in Jesus' presence. You think about the thief on the cross, that man was a murderer and a thief. And he began his day hanging there. It's hard to believe, but he's hanging there cursing Jesus. But as the day wore on, and as death and the reality of it began to seep in, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your glory. Remember me. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have thought there'd been an altar call. The band would have played one more time. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Don't you think that's a little easy? Don't you think that's a little simple? Doesn't he have to, like, get baptized? Somebody baptize him quick! There's no sign of that. He didn't even get the tithe. What member was he of what church? He didn't even serve in children's ministry. What a loser. Jesus says, today you'll be with me, and that's a good place. Man, how religion messes things up. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul says, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, Romans 13, 10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's something radical for a good Jewish boy to say. And Paul said it. Finally, this, a new commandment he gives, that God gives, it's because it's a new experience, a new emphasis, a new example, and verses 9 through 11, a new experience. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brothers in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The first thing we see here right now, real quick, verse 9, it says, he who says, remember, it doesn't matter what you say. Remember, every Christian should consider one another deaf. Doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do. He who says he is in the light. Yeah, I live in the light. Hates his brother. He's in darkness until now. The words until now means he's actually abiding in the darkness. He's stuck in it. He's stuck there. He's like in a room. He can't get out of the room. He's stuck in it. Why? He hates his brother. This is a powerful word, hate. The word means to detest or to loathe. It means to love less than you ought. Is there anybody that just makes you sick when you see their face? They just make you sick. You know that's your problem and not theirs? Well, you're telling me every time I see him, I have a problem. That's not what I'm talking about. Your heart's the problem. My heart's the problem. As soon as I say in my mind, oh, brother, here he comes, the Lord says to you, just like he says to me, hey, don't say that, don't think that. I love that guy. Go love him. And then you meet that impossible moment. I can't do this, God. I can't love him. And that's where the Lord says, I know you can't. That's why I live inside you. Ask me, and I'll give you the love for him. Right now, with what I just said, you and I should take that person that drives us up the wall and put them at the top of our prayer list and begin to pray this prayer. Lord, don't change them. Give me love for them. And you want to know what will probably happen? That person will probably come to Christ. Well, yeah, but what if they're already a Christian? Then you guys will probably wind up being best friends by the time God gets done. Well, that's impossible. God says, that's right. With man, it's impossible. I'm not going to say any more than this regarding this topic. I know that this is true because God's done it in my life. He has done it in my life. And it is so liberating. It's so great to be set free. It's so important because the word hate also, Jesus said, if you look at somebody and hate them, you're guilty of what? Murder. Before the judgment or the sinometer in heaven, if you hate somebody, God says, murder. But I didn't stab them. You know what? When we hate somebody, the first thing we do is that we lie against the truth. Because it says, he who says he is in the light. We're lying against the truth. The second thing is that we murder. It says that he hates his brother. We're murdering the brother. How are we murdering the brother? We'll say something about him. Well, yeah, well, you know what he said the other day, don't you? Or you know where he lives. Oh, did you hear about John? What? I better not say. Oh, what is that? You just destroyed that guy. You just murdered his character. You murdered his witness. And the funny thing is, John's not in trouble. You are. Well, you know, well, Bill, we better pray. Lord, help Brother Bill. You are murdering him. And the worst thing is you're invoking God into your plan. Dear God, hey, leave that alone. The Bible says if you have something against your brother, you leave your gift at the altar and you go straight to him and settle that thing and come back only after that's been settled to the altar. Father, here's my $1,000,000 I want to dedicate to your wonderful work. And God says, you make me sick with that stuff. Get it out of here. You hate that guy over there. Go fix that. And then I'll talk to you about your offering. But see, in our conscience, we like to hide that by the offering. I was at a service when David Hawking was preaching one time. And I was blown away because it was thousands of people there and they had taken an offering, and David Hawking came up. This is when he was pastoring down there in Santa Ana. And he said, he got up, opened up the Bible, and he goes, oh, by the way, he said, somebody, I just believe in my heart that God has just spoken to me. And he says, somebody put a large amount of money in the offering this morning. And you're not saved. And you did that regarding guilt. And God wants you to have your money back. God wants your heart. And he said, if you see me after service, I'll give you that large sum of money back. Isn't that amazing? Another thing, when we hate our brother, it blinds us. We walk in darkness. Not only does it blind us, but if we open our mouth about it, we blind others. We destroy them right along with it. It's terrible. And so he says, verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. What a great word this is. There's no cause for stumbling. You can be with them and not think evil of somebody else after having been with them. There's no stumbling. In Romans 14, verse 19 to 21, the scripture says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of your food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat or to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother might be stumbled or is offended or made weak. In other words, Paul says we should love each other so much that if you invite Joe over to your house who happens to be a vegetarian, don't serve steak. And when he sits down, don't say, so, you're a veggie, huh? What's up with you? Don't do that. Have the best salad, the best soybean burgers you can make. Don't stumble someone like that. Or if somebody says, you know, all I eat is red meat. It's just red meat. If you know that, don't have chicken or fish. Have a big bleeding steak for him. You know, be sensitive. Paul says in another place, put up with these things. Why? Because we love each other. Isn't that funny? We need to get along more. I know we're all related. That's why we don't always get along that well. But we need to determine tonight, we're going to love each other. Change the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through part of 1 John chapter 2, where the apostle sheds new light on an old commandment. It's yet another one of the passages where the apostle helps us gauge whether or not we know God or are walking in the light, as he puts it. A new commandment he gives. That's the title of this lesson, A New Commandment He Gives. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at these three New Testament letters written by the apostle John himself. By the way, one of the closest apostles and eyewitnesses of Jesus. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday, including tonight, you can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, we really think you're going to like it. And if you have seen it, well, you know exactly what I mean. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is just that. It's a program that really takes a look at real life issues that affect you and me as believers in today's world. Things like prophecy, Israel, Islam, defending the faith, there's a good one, defending the reliability of Scripture, elections and voting our biblical worldview, and a whole lot more. Now, at times, you'll hear Pastor Jack himself teach on these kind of topics, but other times, he sits down and interviews an expert in one of these fields. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock, including tonight. That's Pacific time, by the way, and that's on hischannel.com. And by the way, if you'd like to see some of these recent interviews and topical teachings, just click Video on Demand right there at the top of the page on hischannel.com. Then, of course, join us for tonight's broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, 7 o'clock tonight, West Coast time on hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.